Other events upcoming include the Really Free Market coming up Saturday, the day after tomorrow, at the Sub Rosa Cafe community space, right outside the Sub Rosa Cafe at 703 Pacific, right next to the Bike Church. Really Free Market, no money, no trades, everything is free. You bring stuff and give it away. You come and haul stuff away. I did that really for the first time, I think it was last month, maybe it was only a couple weeks ago. Boy, it seems like a few weeks ago. Really interesting stuff, some videos I wanted to see. I think I may have picked up a book. A lot of stuff, very little junk. I mean, check it out. It's from noon to 3 on Saturday. Bring stuff you want to give away, and come prepared to take stuff that you want to look over and use. Sub Rosa Cafe, Saturday, 12 to 3. Then UCSC goes on strike. Last week, according to this write-up in the Santa Cruz Indy Media website, UC forced their cuts on us. Instead of working with our bargaining team to address issues of widening inequality and outsourcing, UC's administrators decided to push proposals that only make things worse. On April 26th, 2018, our bargaining team gave UC a 10-day strike notice that all service workers will be on strike and patient care workers will strike in solidarity. We will not go backwards. We will fight for a contract that respects us. And so the strike begins Monday, May 7th, 5 a.m. in the morning, goes all day, and it's going to be happening on the 7th, the 8th, and the 9th, apparently. And as I was thinking before, I don't quite know how a limited strike is really going to have a strong effect on, but maybe it will. Seems to me you strike until you get your demands, or you should be prepared not to get your demands at all. But what do I know about labor negotiations? And not a hell of a lot. But, well, that's what's happening up at UCSC. I guess you can go up and support it if you want. And that's what's cooking. Another story from Julie Scholl. Seattle City Council contemplates dedicated funding for vehicle residents. It's May 2nd. Which is, I guess, gosh, just yesterday. As the city grapples with an employee hours tax to help combat homelessness, whatever that is, city staff issued one proposal to pay for safe parking lots for vehicle residents. And here's the story. If there's one rule that translates equally from the public sector to the private sector to the private citizen, is this: it is much more fun to talk about spending money than raising it. Housing advocates and business interests continue to battle a cold war over an employee hours tax through their council member proxies to pay for affordable housing and homelessness services. Not quite sure what this employee hours tax is. But as those arguments continue, the Finance and Neighborhoods Committee issued a detente to contemplate a more pleasant scenario if Seattle did happen into another $75 million a year to combat homelessness and build affordable housing. Woo-woo. Where would it go? While many of the usual and important suspects appear on the list, city staff also included roughly $18.2 million to directly and indirectly support vehicle residents. If passed, this would represent the first investment of any size in several years to help this population of people experiencing homelessness. The proposal, tucked under the heading Safety in Place, includes 97 safe parking spots, case management services, trash removal, and funding for hygiene services. Approximately $5.8 million of the total is earmarked specifically for vehicle residents and would, among other things, help defray the cost of tickets. The program is part of a 20% of the tax revenue set aside for emergency services. The rest will go into housing production and preservation. The news pleased Jean Darcy, a longtime advocate for people living in their vehicles. It's wonderful, Darcy said. It's like a miracle. We can really start helping people. Of course, they're just talking about it now. But it does have a nice sound to it. In Santa Cruz, of course, proposals to hurt vehicles has really been up on the city council agenda. Last city council meeting, they passed a proposal to ban vending from vehicles in downtown Pacific Avenue and the adjacent streets. They narrowly put aside, well, actually, they wasn't narrowly, but they put aside briefly a proposal to ban vehicles over 6 feet tall, but that's coming back, I'm afraid, folks, so watch out. Keep your eyes peeled. Also, they're putting in new parking meters, upping parking rates by initially 50% and then up to 400 or 500% if they choose to do so, based on the theory that they want to have a certain number of open spaces that will encourage more people to come park and shop in downtown Santa Cruz, particularly those with money and credit cards, which will now be available to be used in new expensive parking meters, which will also have parking sensors. So you will not be able to park for more than 2 hours if they choose to turn those sensors on. And so if you put money in the meter, it won't work, and you'll just get another hefty parking ticket. But getting back to Seattle and what they're doing there, at present, Darcy, the Reverend Bill Curlin Hackett, and Jennifer Adams, a former Vehicle resident and Real Change vendor. Real Change is the homeless newspaper sold up in Seattle. We have our own down here. It's not really a Santa Cruz paper, but occasionally has stories by people like Steve Plaich and Linda Lemaster, called the Street Spirit newspaper. Anyway, these folks are the only people focused on getting help for people living in their vehicles, despite the fact that vehicle residents made up 42% of the unhoused population. Wow, that's quite a percentage. I think we have a much smaller percentage down here who are in their vehicles, who have the advantage of being in a vehicle. According to the 2017 homeless census, that's 2,314 people in Seattle who are not targeted with direct services, unlike people in shelters or encampments. So, of course, that's a bunch of fluff and hokum that people are really targeted with direct services, unless you mean that's at least what the literature says, or the phone lines, the number that they give you to call in where the waiting lists are full or the people aren't answering and so forth. The scofflaw, I don't know what's going on in Seattle, but it seems to me that unless it's much different than most other cities, that's likely to be the case. The scofflaw mitigation team, as Darcy, Carolyn Hackett, and Adams are known, tries to prevent these people from getting expensive tickets for parking or expired tabs and helps shepherd them through the courts. The consequences of such tickets can snowball, resulting in the loss of a home to impound, or even misdemeanor conviction if tickets go ignored for too long. The team relies on an informal network of parking enforcement and court employees to do their work. The team lacks monetary resources as well. They raise money, but donations have largely dried up over the past 2 or 3 years, Darcy said. It's also difficult to keep in touch with vehicle residents who have to live like nomads, constantly moving around the city. The only remaining concession for people living in cars is a lot by railroad tracks in SODO, wherever that is, and that is expected to close this year. Still, 97 parking spaces is a drop in the bucket, said committee chair Councilwoman Sally Bagshaw. Under the proposed plan, the parking spaces would be spread out across the lots holding 6 to 8 cars each. People staying there would have access to case management and hygiene centers, like we're talking, I guess, potable water and drinking fountains and toilets, probably porta-potties. That's what we saw in San Lorenzo Park, but Seattle may be more humane or maybe better financed and more embarrassed, who knows. They could get their vehicles' toilets emptied and help to pay tickets. Carolyn Hackett is on the fence. I doubt Seattle can find 97 spaces, Carolyn Hackett wrote in an email, noting that Seattle needs to take a more regional approach. Proposal follows several recommendations from the Progressive Revenue Task Force, a group convened to design the tax and potential ways to spend revenues raised. Darcy wanted funding to help repair vehicles, but it was not listed in the proposal. Many vehicle residences are old and acquire parking violations because they can't move every 72 hours. Of the recreational vehicles that Seattle paid a tow company to dispose of in 2017, the newest was pushing 20 years old. Several date back to a time before the auto industry standardized vehicle identification numbers, obscuring their exact age. Also included in the $78 million set aside for emergency response is money for enhanced shelters and tiny houses, health services, criminal justice diversion, and money to supplement wages for frontline workers. Turnover in these positions prevents people from developing relationships and getting the consistent help they need, said Councilmember Teresa Mosqueda. And that's a story from the, not quite sure what it's from, but it's by Ashley Archibald, and it's headlined Seattle City Council Contemplates Dedicated Funding for Vehicle Residents, which doesn't sound bad, but the label homeless funding, there's many a slip between the label and the lip, as they say.
I'll tell you a story that happened in April of 1986. An explosion and subsequent meltdown caused damage that never can be fixed. Caused damage that never can be fixed. A nuclear reactor at Chernobyl, like so many others around the globe, did what experts say cannot happen, and like a bomb did explode. And just like a bomb did explode, Chernobyl, I will use all my power to prevent the hour that our Earth will live no more from nuclear accident or war. For some, it's a day to talk of heroes, those brave souls that put the fire out. But let's not forget the well-placed cowards that continue to bring these things about. Who continue to bring these things about. As horror hit the evening news screens and the scope of destruction became clear, the nuclear lobby voiced its new theme, that the only problem is our fear. Oh yes, the only problem is our fear. Chernobyl, I vow I will use all my power to prevent the hour that our Earth shall live no more from nuclear accident or war. The poison extends through the food chain, and death extends through the years. It comes with the wind and the light rain. It knows no borders or frontiers. Oh no, it knows no borders or frontiers. We cannot change what has happened. We cannot erase what has passed. Our last. Make nuclear power something of the past. Chernobyl, I vow I will use all my power to prevent the hour that our Earth shall live no more from nuclear accident or war. Chernobyl, I vow I will use all my power to prevent the hour that our Earth shall live no more from nuclear accident or war.
And that was Chernobyl by Kristen Lems from the 80s, of course, actually maybe a little bit later. You're tuned to Free Radio, 101.3 FM, Freak Radio, the homeless radio station, or I should say the stationless radio station, or the studioless radio station. And I also understand we've been having some trouble staying on air because of a transmitter problem. My apologies to all of you who've been looking for us on air and not finding us. We are still available online at freakradio.org, as current listeners have to know if they're actually listening to this. And you can also catch the archives of at least my show at freakradio.org, which is actually where you can go to get archives of other shows. And you can also get schedules and learn how to become a member of Free Radio. But if you go to the HUF website, Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom, that's the group I work with, there's all kinds of archives of back shows and also current shows. So check it out at huffsantacruz.org. I actually had someone who was doing that today. I got an email that made me feel, hey, at least one other person is listening, and that was good news for me. And here's a reminder, $500 is still sitting in the kitty waiting for you to collect. If you can find us a 10x10 space that we can rent for a year with access to electricity, internet, and bathroom so that we don't go wee-wee on the floor, so to speak. That's $500. Get in touch with Free Radio by going to the website, freakradio.org, or by giving me a call on the HUF, Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom line at 423-HUF, 423-4833.